Okay, so following my new minhag of Wednesday is I will share with you what I learned with Steiner yesterday, and then you can thank Steiner, right? So we did the first two Rambans on the parsha, these are in many ways classic Rambans. The first two Rambans deal with two related questions, right? One is, why does Mishpatim as a unit follow Yitro, or the Esteret HaDibrot, as a unit? And the second is, why within Mishpatim is Eved Ivri the first mitzvah in the Mishpatim unit? So for the first question, the Ramban, as do many others, notes that in many ways Mishpatim is an expansion of the Esteret HaDibrot. And his hint for this is that between the Esteret HaDibrot, which is in Shishi of last week's Parsha, and Mishpatim, right, there is Shvi'i. And what do you have in Shvi'i? So you have a few psukim about building a Mizbeach and not building Eloi Chesef, Eloi Zahav, right, building gold and silver idols and things like that. So he says, you see that right after the Esteret HaDibrot, you start elaborating, right, without too much darshaning, right, it becomes very clear right away that don't make gold idols, don't make silver idols, is an expansion of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha, right, don't, I am God and don't have idols, right? That's obvious. So once you notice that immediately after you finish the Esteret HaDibrot, you launch into laws that very clearly start paralleling the Esteret HaDibrot, so that leads you to believe that in one way or another, Mishpatim is an expansion of the Esteret HaDibrot. And therefore he says, once you see that clue and you run through the... by the way, I'm not going to take every point in the Ramban. I'm going to take some salient ones, but there's more in the Ramban. You can ask Steiner. But then, right, if you jump through, you'll see there's the issue of cursing, right? There's laws about cursing parents or hitting parents, I think, right? Which is clearly an expansion of Tzibur Avaim, right? And there's laws about stealing and property laws, which is clearly an expansion of stealing, right? Damages are in many ways an expansion of stealing, right? How directly? Interesting question, right? How directly? You could go really far. And the Tur and Rabbeinu Yonah actually think that the Isser of Nezek, the Isser of damage, is a derivative of Lo Tignof, right? Straight, don't steal, which includes within it, conceptually, don't damage, right? And that Mishpatim is just telling you how you pay for the damages, but the Isser is because of stealing. So he says, right, so right off the bat, right, that once you start noting these parallels, right, you have to flesh out the details. But the reason Mishpatim goes is because essentially this is the more full expression of the principles laid out in the Esteret HaDibrot. The most interesting point I think he makes in that is, okay, so we could start going through and we could find the parallels to Anochi and Lo Yelecha and Kabbat, right, Kibra Va'im and Shabbat. You could even write later on, right, there'll be discussions of Shalosh Regalim, maybe that's an expansion of Shabbat, whatever it's going to be, right? And killing, so sure, there's the laws of killing and killing slaves and killing free men and you know, killing and assaulting someone and not being sure whether it's going to lead to death, right? All those are pretty obvious. But what about Lo Tachmod? So here he says that actually, Mishpatim is most fully an expression of Lo Tachmod than any other of the Dibrot. And the reason is because Lo Tachmod, the idea that you can't desire or covet that which belongs to another person, is predicated on the notion that there are boundaries, and there is a distinction between that which is yours and that which is his. And therefore he says, Lo Tachmod, without Mishpatim, is meaningless. Without a system of law that says, I own this, you own that, and therefore I can't damage it, I can't steal it, right, I can't, etc., then Lo Tachmod is meaningless, because if you don't have rights and you don't have property, then how could I desire that which is yours? It's not yours. I don't know it's yours. And therefore, for him, Lo Tachmod is, all of Mishpatim is an expansion of Lo Tachmod. The entire system of monetary law is what enables the notion that God can say, be okay with what is yours and don't desire that which is his. Right, which I think right, within this general framework of Mishpatim being an expansion of the Esaret Dibra, that is by far, I think, the most surprising of the claims. That's the first Ramban. Second Ramban is, well, why Avadim? Right? Why are the laws of Eved Ivri the first law within Mishpatim? Once you've said Mishpatim is this expansion of the Esaret Dibra, we're on the second point, so you're right in time. Right? So once you say that Mishpatim is the expansion of Esaret Dibra, so why would you start of all things with Eved Ivri? So here, what I noticed at Steiner was that I think the Ramban often has these literary views where he's very good at seeing the big picture. And here, I would have said there's an obvious one, right? And in fact, other Mepharshim, if I remember correctly, even Ezra says this, is, well, why are there limitations? Why does the Pesukim say there are limitations on how long someone can be your slave and how you're supposed to treat them as a slave? Because you remember, you were Avadim in Mitzrayim. And therefore, I would have said, it's very simple. The laws that we have, the civil law we have, is informed by our experience, right? So much of our civil law is, don't take advantage of the poor, right? Don't take advantage of the people who can't fight for themselves within the legal system. What animates that is our experience in Mitzrayim as having been slaves. And constantly we get that refrain. So I would have said it's very simple. You start with the limitations of Avadim to say, you know why this institution that exists in the ancient world of slavery, you know why you can't do it the way everyone else does, and you treat it more like indentured servitude, and you treat them well, and it's only temporary? Because you were Avadim. And that belief that you were once on the outskirts of society, you were the Ger, you were the Eved, that has to inform the way you think about civil law. But that's not, yeah.
Is that what the case is? Why is that only applied to
right, so I don't want to talk about the institution of slavery just because I don't have time, right? And I spent a long time in it last year in Mishpatim. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow, otherwise I can, if I make it here tomorrow, which is very unlikely. It's very unlikely, because there's a lot of snow expected in our area, and when there is, they close the roads. It's not like you have an option of driving slowly. They just close the roads, right? They just send out a message and say the roads are closed, the gate is locked. They just close the gate of the Yishuvim and lock the road. So if the road is closed, I might get here later in the day. This happened to me once last year where it was like a Thursday, and by the time they cleared it, so I got here for afternoon Seder and night Seder, but I didn't get it for morning Seder. So I don't know, but we'll see. If I don't make it here tomorrow,
can I come with you? I won't
be that you can come. You can't come with me, no. And do what? And stay at my house? No. Sorry. Especially since I have four people in my family who need to take corona tests later today. No. Because it's only 72 hours. So, anyways. But I would have said that, right? Something like that. But the Ramban doesn't go in that direction. The Ramban, and this is where you never quite know what level the Ramban is functioning at, because he functions at the level of halacha. He functions at the level of mysticism. He functions at the level of literary analysis. He functions at many, many, many levels. So he says, well, when do you let the slave go free? In year 7. Ah, year 7. You mean this is a 6-in-1 pattern? Well, of course it's a 6-in-1 pattern, because 6-in-1 patterns are what reminds you about the creation of the world. Hence, Shabbat. Hence, Shemitah. Hence, Yovel. Hence, Avadim. Right? 7 is an expression of your belief in God. And therefore, when you start, right, so he says, what you have to remember, the beginning of Mishpatim is your belief in God, right? You believe in Mitzrayim, which attests to the fact that God created the world. You talk about Shabbat, which reminds you that God created the world, right? So he goes to this level, right, of symbolism, that the reason that Avadim is important is almost accidental. It's not because Avadim is important, right? The reason you free a slave is because God controlled the world, that's what he told you to do, and therefore we have the pattern of 6-in-1, which reminds you, right? And for him, what is it, the importance of remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Not, like I said, that remember the experience of Mitzrayim and the ethical things that teaches you and frames the way you relate to civil law. No! Mitzrayim, like everything else in the Torah, which is in a 6-in-1 pattern, remind you of creation, remind you of God. And that's a very important thing to be at the beginning of Mishpatim, is to remember that God is the creator and everything that comes with that. Now that, I think, is interesting. But for me, right, for me, I don't know how much it settles. Right, it might be true also. Right, for me, it sort of misses the point, because that explains why you pick something that has the 617 pattern, right? But why Avadim specifically? For him, it's Avadim is 6 and 1, which reminds you of creation, and reminds you of Mitzrayim, which itself reminds you of creation, and that's it. When you're starting a, right, he says, therefore, this is essentially Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? He said, just like Anochi Hashem Elokecha has to start with Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim is what shows us that God exists and has power and created the world, dot, 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 dot. So Mishpatim, which is paralleling Yetzirat HaDibrot, starts with Yetzirat Mitzrayim and God and whatever, and that frames the Mitzvot. But at some level, for me, that misses the point, because that explains why 7 and 1, right? The 617 pattern. It doesn't quite explain why Avadim of all them, right? Then you could have just as easily started with Shemitah, or Yovel, or Shabbat, right? Or whatever. To me, I think you have to go farther and say, okay, that might be true, but why Avadim specifically? The Ramban doesn't. But then again, for the Ramban, that's not so crazy, right? Because the Ramban, because he's functioning all these many levels, including the Kabbalistic one, so in the realm of mysticism, symbolism and numeric symbolism is that much more important, and therefore what it sheds light on is much deeper, right? If you're not functioning in that, right? I told Ginsberg gave me this book on Ramban. I'm waiting to read, right? Because then it will help me understand this, right? But Halbertal's new book on Ramban, right? But that the complexity with Ramban is figuring out how these levels work together. So why it is that he is motivated to see the primary interpretation in the symbolism, right, rather than in the content of this mitzvah in conjunction with the symbolism, I'm not totally sure, right? But that is where he sees the primary reason for it, and that was, right, so this is what I did with Steiner yesterday. It was both what, for me, about the Ramban is very convincing, right, which is his earlier comments, right, which is seeing Mishpatim as an expansion of Seret HaDibrot, and his most striking comment, which is all of Mishpatim is an expression of Lo Tachmod, right, which is, you need to know boundaries to know what's yours and his in order to say don't desire that which is his, right? You need there to be something which is his, right? That, I think, is very compelling. I also think that it is compelling that the Parsha of Avadim was, by design, the first one in Mishpatim. But the belief that it's not really about Eved, it's that Eved is part of a series of things that remind us of creation, like Mitzrayim, because of the number 7, I don't know. I will point out that for me also, right, the Ramban takes it farther, and he says that the reason that, and this is just the last point, but since we're doing Shemitah, I should make this point, right, we talked about at the beginning of the year, why is it that not keeping Shemitah is so severe, right? So we talked about it because it's the 6-1, right, or just that you give up your land shows that you believe that God owns the land and things like that. I mean, that if you deny that, you don't deserve to be in, right? Because if you deny that the land is God's, you don't get to have it. Or if you can't treat people well in the country, so you don't get to have it. What he notes is once you're focusing on the symbolism, he says the reason for him that Shemitah brings Galut is because anything which has that 617 pattern is about believing in God creating the world. And therefore, it's just really, really important. So when you deny it, right, you go into Galut. But based on that, and since for him it's just about the symbolism, he says that's why Yirmiyahu uniquely says that one of the reasons that the Jews go into Galut is because they fail to keep the laws of Avadim properly and free their slaves. Right? And he says why? Well, for him, Galut is a punishment for denying God's creation of the world and the mitzvot that reflect that through the 617 pattern. Right? And for him, therefore, Avadim, right, failing to live up to the laws of Avadim is a theological problem, that you deny that creation of the world, and once you know from Shemitah that denying the creation of the world sends you to Galut, so failing to live up to the laws of Eved Ivri for the theological reason leads you to Galut. Of course, you could have taken a moral view, which is, right, if you express ownership over people in a way that's not yours, right, so God takes away your ownership of self, right, sends you into exile, takes away your property, right, if you treat people as property when you're not supposed to, right, so God will take away that which you thought was yours or something like that, right? You could have gone in a more moralistic direction, right? But he doesn't. Or a more specific direction, meaning focusing on slavery itself rather than slavery and the 6-1 pattern, right? But again, for him, that symbolism is the meaning, is the message, which again is a certain way of thinking, which when you understand how much Ramban is influenced by Kabbalah, in addition to his other concerns, right, you understand why this is very important to him. But again, you know, like I said, I'm very excited to read this book, but right? To really understand, and this I think is one of the challenges of Ramban, is to understand how he functions all those levels at once, right? And how that influences him to make choices like this, where he sort of, right, veers more into the numerology and the symbolism and the mystical reads than what he does in other places, which is the localized, right, maybe pshat, literary concerns. And I don't really know when he chooses one over the other, but in this case, he does seem to really, really go in that direction, which is fascinating, definitely adds a dimension. Whether you find it compelling, I'm not sure, right? And I think this is where I fail to really understand how all the strains of Ramban work together. But anyways, that's what I did with Steiner yesterday, so...